And now for something completely different.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Let's do it.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. With you till 3 on this Throwback Thursday, with plenty to do over the next couple of hours. Coming up, the Milwaukee Bucks have evened the series, and all because of Charleston's own. Plus, Brent Venables has himself a new contract and another raise. What are the chances Venables will ever be a head coach? Get to that coming up. Which NFL teams are ready to take a step forward this year? Which ones will take a step back? And on a Throwback Thursday, did we just have a new sack leader in NFL history, even without games being played? We'll get to that. Plus, talking season has begun in college football. We'll catch up later, about an hour from now, with a member of the Charleston Battery before they return home this weekend. And 2 hours from now, we'll catch up with former big leaguer, former Atlanta Brave, Elliot Johnson. He's a real funny guy as well. He'll join us later on this afternoon. The second half of the baseball season officially begins tonight and this weekend for the Atlanta Braves. We'll talk about it with Elliot later on this afternoon. Also got our wrestling wrap-up to get to. The biggest challenge for the college basketball coaches this upcoming season, and a whole lot more over the next couple of hours. I'm still trying to figure out dress codes as well. With you till 3 o'clock on this Thursday, you can join the conversation throughout the afternoon, 843-721-9500 to give us a call. You can always text the show, 843-608-1734. Get to us on Twitter at Morrow Middays, on Facebook at ESPN Charleston. You can also email the show, studio@kirkmanbroadcasting.com. Or head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com, where you can just click on our show page. And there you can leave a comment for the show. You can find the latest versions of the show podcasted right there. Or you can take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by streaming us online at charlestonsportsradio.com. With it till 3 on this Thursday, Joe's on the steel wheels. Joe, what's going on? How are you?
Well, if Friday Eve were any better, it would be Friday itself. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad. In fact, I'm feeling pretty good today. You know, we have some, we got some deal here every Wednesday, or Thursday. It's Thursday. I just said it's Thursday. I already forgot what day it is. Every Thursday, we have somebody come here, like a chiropractor, that can give you adjustments. Yeah, it's nice working in radio.
When did this happen?
Yeah, you got to start showing up a little earlier.
Yeah, no one ever told me.
It's been a few weeks. Now, I'll be honest, I usually get here very early.
No one tells me anything around here.
Well, that's true.
No one tells me when the donuts are here. No one tells me when somebody brings in some grub. No one tells me anything.
Yes. You know, it's reserved for the talent, right? That's what we call us. Joe, the people on that side of the glass are just the producers. Over here, when you have this microphone, you're the talent. And the talent, we got to be taken care of.
Okay, well then let's see how talented you are going like this. Can't hear you. Oh, what were you saying, Luke? What is it you're trying to say? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you have the controls. You can turn my microphone off. Which, by the way, I realized I forgot my notes on my desk. I jotted down some notes to the Bucks Suns, so that actually would help out. You could turn my mic off. Let me go run back to my office and grab my notes for this opening segment.
Why don't you just talent it over here?
Don't worry, I got it all memorized by writing it down this morning. I was jotting down my numbers and stats. We'll get to that in just a moment about the NBA Finals. But, yeah, there's we have I know you're driving around, right? You got a long day ahead of you, and you're like, oh, these jerks. They got this guy coming to the office, giving them free adjustments. And I want to give him a shout-out. It's a Perfect Stretch is the name of his company, and you can check him out online. And now, look, I'm trying to be active, so I've been going running every day. It's not really a run. It's a jog, really. A jog. I've been going jogging each day, and I've never been very flexible. So it was great. He got me all loosened up. I was a little tight. He said, oh, yeah, we call this the runner's muscle. We got to work on that. So Now I'm good to go. Now I'm going to be blazing past everybody on my jog later on. So feel loose, feel good. It's a good day. It's a good Thursday. I'm ready to go. I'm loose. I'm comfortable, ready to talk sports for the next 3 hours. You don't want to be sitting there all uptight. Oh, you feel relaxed. We're good to go now. So appreciate it from Perfect Stretch. You can check them out, and I'll be checking him out next time he comes here. I usually don't get here very early. People tease me here in the building because I usually show up, you know, not too early before airtime. Today I happened to be here a little early, and I said, sure, let me give this a whirl. Feeling good today. Let me start with the NBA Finals last night. You can always join the conversation throughout the afternoon. Get to us on Twitter, text line. You give us a call, 843-721-9500. Game 4 of the NBA Finals last night, and the Bucks were able to even the score. This now becomes a 3-game series. The home team has won every game because, as I've said before, we have stars in this series, Giannis, Chris Paul, but the NBA Finals a lot of times come down to those quote-unquote Robins, to the second banana. And those role players in this case, the reason why we don't respect the Bucks or the Suns as much is because when you talk about that second player, right, for the second player for the Lakers, Anthony Davis, second player for the Clippers, even Paul George, despite his playoff struggles, second player for the Nets, Kyrie Irving, James Harden. When you talk about most teams' second players, that's why we don't take the Sixers seriously, right? Ben Simmons, he can't shoot. Tobias Harris had a good year, but he's not some sort of star. When you talk about a team's second player, and you look at the Suns and the Bucks, at least going into the series, now Devin Booker's turned himself into a real star. You could actually have a debate on who's number one and who's number two with Chris Paul and Devin Booker. And on the Bucks side, right, Chris Middleton is the number two. There's a reason why they went out and got a Drew Holiday this offseason. Like, I don't know about Middleton. And my point being that when you talk about those number twos, there's more concern with these teams. And it's why we're not as excited or haven't been in the past throughout this season about the Suns and the Bucks. Because you think, oh, yeah, Giannis, but Chris Middleton? As opposed to, yeah, Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving, LeBron and Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, right? And then it's like, Giannis and Chris Middleton? Chris Paul and Devin Booker? I don't know. I don't know if that's good enough. And in this series, the role players have been very good at home. When you have those role players that are a little notch below, I've been saying this all series, the role players always play better at home. That's why they're role players. They struggle on the road. You can't count on them every night. They play well in front of the home crowd and the comfortable, you know, the rims they're comfortable with. When they don't have to travel, they sleep in their own bed. They look great. Then you go on the road, they don't look so good. That's why you take the average. They'll look at it like a number one at home. They'll look like a number four on the road, and it averages out to about a two and a half. Because, they're a two, but they're not a great two. But Chris Middleton at home last night was excellent for the Bucks. And Middleton is the most important player for the Milwaukee Bucks. I've been saying this. I think the Bucks are better when the offense runs through Chris Middleton, as opposed to Giannis. I think Giannis is a better player. Who would I rather have? I'd rather have Giannis than Chris Middleton. But I do think the offense is better when operating through Chris Middleton. When it's operating through Giannis, he can only score one way. He can be a little selfish, right? When he goes for his 40 points, he's attacking the rim. He's doing it all on his own. You know what he's going to do. So you only have to worry about one thing, right? It becomes a more selfish team. It becomes an easier team to stop. And you figure, sure, we'll let Giannis get his 40, but no one else is going to score. And when Giannis goes off for 40, usually, right, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday, they don't play as well. They can't get into rhythm. They don't get as many opportunities. They're just kind of standing around, right? Giannis is just driving to the rim, or he's going to the foul line. Teams are like, sure, come this way. Come right this way, Giannis. We'll be shooting threes on the other end. You take your twos. We'll send you to the foul line. You try to earn your points there. But the Bucks offense is better when it's operating through Chris Middleton. And Middleton, obviously, is a great story from right here in Charleston. So we can take pride in Middleton and his performance. And not only that, but Chris Middleton, right, a G League player, he got injured in college, goes to Texas A&M, gets injured, wasn't sure if he was going to be drafted. He got drafted in the second round, goes to the Pistons. He was part of a trade for Brandon Jennings. He was just the throw-in. Went to Detroit his first year, didn't do much. They didn't think much of him. They just gave a throw-in in the trade to Milwaukee. Yeah, you take him. You can have him. Right? Oh, how about we give you Chris Middleton? All right, does that make the deal? And Milwaukee's like, all right, we'll take him. And he was average to begin his career. In fact, there's a great story about Chris Middleton calling Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA. And I don't know if he was the commissioner at the time. He must have been. I don't remember the year he took over, but Chris Middleton called Adam Silver and asked him, like, hey, what can I do to become an all-star? How can I become more popular? How can I get, like, the respect or some of the attention I think I deserve? Because no one's really paying attention to me, and, you know, they don't think I'm very good, and I think I play well enough. I should be considered an all-star. He called Adam Silver. And said, like, what do I have to do? What do I have to do to get some more attention around here? What do I have to do to elevate my game? He called the commissioner of the league. And here we are a few years later, where because of his performance last night, the Bucks are now even in the NBA Finals. Middleton is more important for this operation than Giannis is. And these were the notes I was talking about that I left on my desk, but don't worry, I have them memorized. I went up and looked at it earlier because I've always had this feeling, and I've said it throughout this postseason, that when you watch the Bucks play, when the offense is being funneled through Giannis, it doesn't look as good as when Chris Middleton is taking over. And so I went and I looked. And in games in which they score over 30 points, when Giannis scores over 30 points, the Bucks were 15-10 this year. Not much better than 500. And in the playoffs, when Giannis scores at least 30 points, the Bucks are just 7-4. Not much better than 500. But when Chris Middleton scores more than 30 points, the Bucks were 8-2. And in the postseason, they're 5-0. When Chris Middleton plays that well, the Bucks can't be beat. The problem for Chris, as I mentioned, is that he's still that role player. He's not a star. No team will pay him number one money. Hey, you come here and lead our team. Right? He is that second banana. And the problem, why, or part of the reason why, is because he's so much better at home than he is on the road. Take just this year alone. We could go back and look at past seasons, but if you just take this season, Middleton is shot 51%, or is shooting 51% at home this year, 45% on the road. From the three-point line, 47% at home. He's making almost half of his threes at home. 47%. On the road, only 36%. And in the playoffs, those numbers only get even wider. In the postseason, his shooting has only varied even more home to road. Right? He's shooting like 15% better at home, 12% better from beyond the arc at home than on the road. So while Middleton played great last night, and he deserves a lot of credit today and praise, it's a great story. Second-round draft pick, thrown in a trade, playing in the G League, calling the commissioner, and now here he is becoming the big star in the biggest stage. It's a great story. He deserves a lot of credit for the performance, for getting the Bucks even in this series with that win last night. But if Milwaukee wants to win this series, it's going to take a win on the road. That's why they always say, NBA playoff series, they don't begin until the home team loses. And so far, the home team has not lost in this series. And if the home team does not lose at all in this series, well, then the Bucks won't be champions. So they have to find a way to win in Phoenix in either Game 5 or 6. If they win Game 5, then you're in the catbird seat, coming home up 3-2, and they play really well at home. But how can you win in Phoenix? You got to get more out of Chris Middleton. He plays great at home. We saw that last night. He plays like a number one in Milwaukee. Goes for 40 last night, but then on the road, shooting percentage drops by 15%. He can't make the shots. He's scoring fewer points. Can't be counted on, and you need that second player to step up. Giannis isn't enough. And the Bucks are better when operating through Middleton instead of Giannis anyways. Middleton was the key to the win last night for Milwaukee, but he'll also be the key to the rest of this series. Because if the Bucks want to win this NBA Finals, it's going to take a road win. And in order to win on the road, it's going to take that type of performance or something close. Asking for 40 points is a lot. Right? But a good game, a good performance, 25-plus, shoot it well, don't turn the basketball over from either Chris Middleton or Drew Holiday. And to this point, they haven't really shown it on the road. They've done it at home, but we have to see it on the road if the Bucks actually want to win this series. By the way, this is only the third time, and I was telling you about that great Chris Middleton story. How about now the company he keeps? This is only the third time in NBA Finals history that one team had two separate players go for over 40 points in an NBA Finals. Giannis had a 40-point game. Now Chris Middleton has a 40-point game. The only other times that ever happened, LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, and Magic Johnson and Kareem. Four Hall of Famers. I think Kyrie is a Hall of Famer. Right? Four Hall of Famers. Giannis probably will be a Hall of Famer by the time he's done. And now Chris Middleton is part of that group as well, as teammates that each went for 40 points in an NBA Finals game. That's how well he played last night. That's how important he is. That's the company he keeps for the job he and Giannis have done so far individually in this series. And they'll have to keep it up. Here was Kendrick Perkins on Get Up this morning on ESPN, talking about some of the things I just mentioned, how the Bucks are better when Chris Middleton is the star of the show.
When it matters the most, Chris Middleton always comes up. He's the Batman. And Giannis, we watched it last night in the game. Giannis deferred to him. Giannis came up setting screens. He wanted Chris Middleton to be in attack mode. We heard Giannis in a post-game interview last night. He said, I trust Chris Middleton. He hasn't let me down too many times. In these moments, you go to your most skilled guy, a guy that shoots 50, 40, 90, going to knock down free throws, going to knock down timely shots, has the skill set to be able to create, get to his mid-range and pull up. I've been trying to preach to the world, Greeny. I've been having so many people attack me about me saying Giannis is the Robin. Like, that's a bad thing. Robin is still a superhero. He's just not Batman. He still needs that big brother when things get tight, when he get a possession by possession to take him home. And that's what Chris Middleton does. That's who he is.
And that's what he did last night. Right, Giannis didn't take a shot in the final 3.5 minutes. And in the last 2.5 minutes, Chris Middleton outscored the entire Suns team on his own. He took that team, and he brought that game home. And the Bucks even up the series. Middleton was great last night, but if they're going to be NBA champions, if Charleston's own, if Chris Middleton wants to bring a championship here to Charleston, it's going to take that type of performance or something similar, not quite the 40 points, but something similar on the road. We've seen you do it at home. And the Bucks are undefeated in this postseason when he goes for 30 points. 8-2 in the season when he went for 30-plus points. Now they're almost unbeatable when Chris Middleton chips in with 30-plus. You got to do it on the road. And I agree with Kendrick Perkins. It's what I've been saying. It's why I compared Giannis to Shaq. You know, when the Lakers went for their three-peat, who was the finals MVP? It was always Shaq. But who was the star in the fourth quarter? It was Kobe. Shaq would get you there. He may have been the best player or the most dominant player or the most valuable player over the course of the series. He may have been the guy to go to in the first three quarters, much like Giannis, but with the game on the line in that fourth quarter, who's taking you home? It was Kobe. Shaq would get the awards. He would get the acknowledgement, but we all knew Kobe. That's still Kobe's team. He was taking the big shots down the stretch. He was winning the games for them. Shaq would get them there, and Kobe would finish it. And it's similar here. Giannis, you get them there, but it's on Chris Middleton to finish this thing. And he did last night. Final 2.5 minutes, he was great. Had 10 points in the last 2.5 minutes, outscored the Suns. They get the win. The question now is, can you do it on the road? Maybe not quite like that last night, but a portion of it. Make the big shots in the fourth quarter. Right? Play well enough to be that second fiddle. Or even to play as a number one. Giannis could be the number two because Giannis wasn't all that great for most of last night's game. And that's what it'll take, but to do it on the road as well. We've seen it at home. Problem is, that won't be enough to win the series. And by the way, in sports, it's not a bad thing to be a Robin. Right? Like Scottie Pippen's always up in arms about that. That's why he came out with these interviews lately where he's speaking nonsense. He's very bitter. Being a Robin in the sports world isn't a bad thing, but I do think like the actual Robin, I don't know if that's too great. If you could be any superhero, I don't think you're choosing Robin, right? I don't think you want to run around in tights, and he was always Batman's little sidekick. He always felt like he was kind of like tagging along, right? The character was like an orphan, right? So Batman kind of took him in. I feel like he kind of felt bad for him, like, Robin, you can hang around with me. And he'd always come around and didn't do a whole lot. The superhero itself, I don't think, was all that great. And in the movies, that movie in the 90s, they made Robin pretty goofy. Like, they didn't really make him like a strong, powerful character. They made him kind of like, you watch that character, you almost like felt bad for Robin. Batman was real cool. And then you had Robin over here trying to help him out take on Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones. And it's like, Robin. And it doesn't really come off like a superhero, at least not in the movies. In sports, though, if you're a Robin, yeah, that's still pretty good. Better than not being talked about. And Chris Middleton last night played probably more than a Robin. He was the Batman. And the team's at their best when Middleton is the Batman. All right, coming up, I went longer at Middleton. So coming up, we'll get to the Venables stuff. But when we come back, Chris Paul, a real concern for the Phoenix Suns as they try to close out this series. We'll get to Venables' contract as well. Some NFL stuff coming up. With you till 3 on this Thursday. It's the Moore Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
It's Throwback Thursday.
What's today? It's Thursday.
Really? Feels like Tuesday.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
We got to get together sooner or later.
Coming up, why Chris Paul has struggled here in the NBA Finals and why the Suns really need him to pick things back up. We'll get to Brett Venables' contract extension coming up in a little bit as well. It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. We also have some tickets to give away to the Charleston River Dogs, so stay tuned for that coming up later on this afternoon. On a Throwback Thursday, this is the first song I ever learned on the guitar because it's the easiest song to ever play on the guitar. It's like two chords. So it was real easy. I played the guitar when I was a kid. I was impatient. I said, I want to be Carlos Santana. They said, you have to practice. I said, no, I want to play songs. I was in first and second grade taking lessons. I said, this is boring. So I quit the guitar and I started playing drums because the drums, you could just bang around on them. You don't have to go to, like, lessons. And then when I was in college, my buddies were all playing the guitar and I thought, that looks cool. I wish I stuck with the guitar. So I taught myself over one summer how to play the guitar again and been playing it ever since. But when I retaught myself, same idea. I was very impatient. I practiced very hard for a week. And then I thought, okay, I've been practicing for a week. I should be able to play songs now. And I wanted to just play a song. So I thought, what's the easiest song? And I was looking around. What's the simplest song to play? And I saw, I always enjoyed this song. And I saw, oh, two chords? Perfect. I know those two chords. I can play that. And it's the simplest song to play the rhythm guitar. I'm not busting any solos, not a week in. But that was the first song I ever learned. Thunderclap Newman. Love that song. And then, of course, you know, Tom Petty covered it, so that makes it a great song as well. We'll get to Venables' contract extension coming up. Oh, by the way, I told you about my adjustment I got this morning before coming on the air. Ooh, we're feeling good. We're feeling loose. But he also, he was telling me all about his band. They do open mics that he runs. He's got a recording studio at his house. They do Facebook live streams for bands out of his studio. He was showing me the videos. We were talking about all sorts of things. He was also telling me about the time he got drunk with Leslie Nielsen. Interesting guy. Check him out. Perfect stretch. But we were talking some music earlier. Thunderclap Newman. First song I ever learned to play on the guitar. You can learn it, too. You can pick up the guitar and play that song today. It's very simple. 843-721-9500. Before we get back to the NBA Finals, get to the Venable stuff coming up, let's first go to the phones. Lou is with us. Lou, what's going on? How are you?
Fine, thanks. How are you doing?
Doing well. What's up?
You hear me okay? I got a phone that I don't use as a phone very much.
Oh, yeah, we got you. You sound good.
Okay, good. You know that song, Something in the Air by Thunderclap Newman?
Yeah.
You know who produced that?
I have no idea.
The producer on that recording.
I don't know.
Pete Townsend of The Who.
Ah, no wonder it's so good.
And according to, I don't know, either Pete in one of his biographies or something, that was the only number one single that Pete Townsend was ever a part of.
Oh, wow.
The Who never had a number one single. I think they peaked at number two or number four. And that Thunderclap Newman song was number one in England for like a week or two.
How about that?
Pete Townsend's only number one single ever.
Wow.
And he only produced it.
Yes. Is that like, you know, do you take that like, if you're Pete Townsend, are you like insulted? Are you bitter about that? The only time he had a number one song, you weren't even on it. You were just behind the scenes.
Yeah, he always laughed about it. Or at least the one interview that I heard, and some years ago, but he was kind of laughing about it. And I also heard there's a live clip of The Who performing somewhere, and Townsend introduces one of the songs in the next set, and I think it's I'm a Boy, and he says, and we're also going to play I'm a Boy, which was our first number four. And he says that with a smile and a laugh.
Yeah, I think he's had a good enough career. I think he can be secure enough in his music ability and his success without the number one hit with The Who.
Indeed.
Hey, appreciate it, Lou. Good to hear from you, as always. Yeah, great song from Thunderclap Newman.
And speaking of The Who, going on to Peacock's app, for obvious reasons, The Who documentary, The Kids Are All Right, is available on there.
Oh, how about that? They got Tommy on there yet? All their crazy movies, whatever they did?
Now, there is another app on Roku where their movie Quadrophenia, which is based on... one of their albums is available on there under the category. Can't even talk this morning under the category of cult classics.
Yeah, see, you should have gotten that adjustment earlier. They loosen you up.
The
words
someone
would be
told
flowing
me.
Out of that mouth right now. Let me tell
yeah,
you.
Yeah, someone had told me.
Yeah,
and I would have said afternoon instead of morning too. So
well, I mean, come on, you can't be picky. I'm looking it up. You better you bet. Depending on the chart you look at, seems like that was the highest charting song for The Who, and it was, according to this, number one on the U.S. rock charts, but U.S. Hot 100 and U.S. Cashbox, it was not. And by the way, that's from the 80s. I've always said this about The Who. People disrespect The Who after Keith Moon. I love 80s Who. Those last two albums they came out with in the 80s, fantastic stuff. And when I do my runs, a lot of times I put on those albums because they're still, The Who, right? They kick ass. That gets you running.
Yeah, and Kenny Jones is still an excellent drummer.
Yes. I love those albums. That's some of my favorite Who stuff. Eminence Front, Athena, You Better, You Bet. Oh, those albums are so good. And people disrespect The Who. The sound changes. Definitely has that 80s influence. You know, no Keith Moon on the drums, but that was still a talented band.
Yeah, but their stuff from the 70s wasn't exactly carbon copy of their stuff from the 60s.
That's true.
Evolving. Same with the Rolling Stones.
That's why the Stones are the best. They've done a little bit of everything over the years and have been able to keep up. Come out with a song during a pandemic last year about the situation, and it sounded excellent. Anyways, I could talk music with you all afternoon here on a Throwback Thursday. Let me rein it back in with the NBA Finals last night. We'll get to Venables coming up in just a little bit. But I opened the show talking about Chris Middleton. That was on the Bucks' side, and Middleton was the big star last night. On Phoenix's side, they lost last night. They dropped two in a row, 2-2 series. The Suns are fine, right? You win both games at home, you're champions. That's all. Just win at home. People always talk about stealing home court advantage. If you're the Bucks, you just have to win one on the road eventually. And if you're that home team, you just win all your games at home, you'll be good. But they're not going to win if Chris Paul continues to play like this. Now, I think there's two things at play. I guess three, but there's a combination of the second one. The first one is credit the Bucks, right? Because they have done a better job on Chris Paul. They put Drew Holiday on him last night, and Holiday was eating his lunch. So they made some adjustments. They handled the pick and roll much better. So credit Milwaukee. They've made things tougher on Chris Paul. That's what happens in a series. You make adjustments as you go. We talked about that last week. But the second issue at Chris Paul, and I think the most important one, is the fact that he's 36 years old. It's been a long season. He's played almost 600 minutes in the postseason alone. Only two guards over the age of 35 have played this many minutes in an NBA playoff. The other was Jason Kidd 10 years ago. Kidd was 37 at the time. Chris Paul is 36. And if this goes seven games, I think Chris Paul will pass Jason Kidd in minutes, even though Paul has missed some time with COVID. He even, in that first round with the shoulder issue. But he's 36 years old. He's been in the league for almost 20 years. He's playing a lot of minutes. And I think he's wearing down a little bit. You look at his turnovers, right? What happens when you're tired? If you play basketball, you remember this. What happens when you're tired at the end of the game? Well, it shows up on the defensive end. You can't move your feet and stay in front of somebody. That's how coaches know. He's tired out there, right? He's getting beat on defense. Can't move your feet, stay in front of the guy you're defending. Can't keep up with him. He's blowing past you. That's a sign someone's tired. And on the offensive end, yeah, their legs aren't underneath them. Maybe they're not shooting as well, especially at the free throw line. But you also get kind of careless with the basketball. Because think about it. If you're tired, if you're exhausted, say you go out for a run or you go do CrossFit or you go work out and you're exhausted afterwards, right? And then imagine like stepping on a basketball court, or you go home and you're trying to play with your kids and you're just like hunched over. You got nothing left, right? You feel like you're about to pass out. You're not getting like air. You're not like thinking clearly, almost like the room's like you're so tired. You can't keep up. Your kids are running around, or you're doing yard work and you're trying to pick something up and you can't pick it up as well. You're struggling to pick it up, to carry something, right? You're exhausted. What happens when you get tired is that you get not careless, but in the case of Chris Paul or a basketball player, you don't take care of the basketball as well. Because just like you at home, you just want to collapse on that couch, and you're trying to carry something, and your steps are a little more staggered, right? You're carrying something heavy, or you're playing with your kids, and you're not moving as easily, and that's when mistakes happen. That's when you fall over, you lose your balance, you drop something, whatever it may be, when you turn over the basketball. That was the case last night for Chris Paul. Game on the line, the Suns are coming down, the chance to tie it with about 30 seconds left, and Chris Paul just fell down and lost the basketball. And the Bucks went down the other end, Middleton scored, they went up four, that was the game right there. Game ended on that Chris Paul turnover. And when you go back and look, Chris Paul averaged one turnover per game in the first round, which is really good for a point guard when he has the ball in his hands all the time. He averaged one turnover per game in the second round. Still really good. So far against the Bucks, Chris Paul is averaging more than four turnovers a game. And part of it may be, yeah, the Bucks are a good defensive team. But I also think part of it is that the longer we go in this series, the more tired he gets. It's like that guy running laps, right? And you just get more and more exhausted, and then you try to do something else. You have to flip a tire over, right? You're doing CrossFit. You have to do some crazy thing with a kettlebell. And you can see that the efficiency keeps, obviously, dropping off the more tired you get. You're moving slower. You're dropping things. You're losing your balance. That's Chris Paul. The longer this playoff goes, the more tired and more worn down he's going to be. And what do you know? The more often he's turning the basketball over. Look at his shooting percentage. Game one of this NBA Finals, shot 63%. Right, it's gone down ever since. 57, 50, 38% last night. Three-pointers have gone from 4, 3, 1 to 0 last night. Points have gone from 32, 23, 19 to 10. He's getting worse as the series goes on. And when he played great in game one and scored 32 points, that was also his fifth game in a month. Because of COVID, he had to sit out for a while. And because of the long breaks for the Suns in between series. So when he looked good to begin the series, yeah, he was fresh. Had played five times in the last month. But now, by the time we get to game four of this NBA Finals, he's a little worn down. Let's hear from Chris Paul and his head coach as well. But first, Chris Paul talking about that costly turnover last night that really, that changed the game. And we'll see how things go, but could change the series. They had a chance to tie it. He just lost it. Bucks went down, scored, put the game away. Here was Chris Paul after the game.
Bad decision making. Timely, we down two, and I try to cross over right there, slip, turn it over. I had some bad passes in the first half, you know what I mean? They got, you know, a significant amount more shots than us. And so, you know, for me, I got to take care of the ball. We got 17 turnovers. We shoot the ball too well not to have those opportunities to score.
Chris Paul after the game last night. And look, this will be a huge series. The finals always is in terms of the impact on a player. Giannis, Chris Middleton, Chris Paul, what can you do? Devin Booker has scored more points this postseason than any other player in their first postseason. Even if the Suns don't win, Booker has done enough to elevate his stock. Chris Middleton, if the Bucks lose in Game 7 and Middleton plays well the next couple of games, I think he elevates his stock. All right, Giannis, I think, has already elevated his stock. Then the concern for Chris Paul, at the beginning of the series, everyone's talking about top five point guard of all time. Things have already changed pretty quickly. And now we're looking at it like, well, wait a minute. And there's a reason. He's always lost in the postseason, whether it's injuries, his play drops off. Here he is, fading in the NBA Finals, his first ever NBA Finals. Does he have enough left in the tank? And last night played terribly. We'll see how he bounces back at home in Game 5. Here was his head coach, Monty Williams, last night after the game, talking about all those turnovers that Paul and the Suns had.
The turnovers just crushed us tonight. You know, we shot 50% from the field, but they got 19 more possessions. And, you know, over the course of the game, when you just give it up that many times, the turnovers and offensive rebounding was a bit of a hill for us to climb. But you're right, when you have that kind of a lead in the fourth, if we can just hold on to the ball and get good possessions, I feel like you can at least hold it there.
Monty Williams last night, kind of calling out Chris Paul without actually saying his name. The Bucks took 19 more shots. They took also 10 more free throws. That game shouldn't have been close last night. You take 19 more shots than the other team, you get 10 more foul shots. If you just make half of those shots and you shoot the same percentage as your opponent the rest of the game, right, you're winning by 25. They won by 6, and it took a comeback in the fourth quarter. 19 more shots and still almost lost at home. Suns just need to take care of the basketball, and that comes mainly from Chris Paul. And Chris Paul's the point guard. It's just like the quarterback. It's just like the starting pitcher. When the quarterback is having an off game, it affects the wide receivers. Right? When a pitcher's having an off game, it will affect the whole team. The whole team will look bad. Like, well, he allowed, you know, 7 runs today. What do you want from us? And especially in basketball. When the point guard isn't playing well, it spreads throughout the whole team. Someone else needs to step up. They need to fill that role. But when the point guard isn't playing well, others hurt from that as well, just like the quarterback. Quarterback's not playing well, not only in the psyche, like mentally you feel that, you know, Tom Brady's having a bad game, we're in trouble today, but also the wide receiver, Randy Moss, could do whatever he wants. If the quarterback can't get him the football, it doesn't matter. You could have the best wide receivers out there, right? You could have the best players on the court. If Chris Paul isn't setting you up, if he's turning it over, it doesn't matter. And then mentally you're thinking, oh boy, like he doesn't have it tonight. We're in trouble. And that can snowball on you. Chris Paul needs to play better to finish this series for the Suns. Chris Middleton needs to play somewhat like he did last night for the Bucks to win, and Chris Paul needs to play better than he did last night for the Suns to win this series. Coming up, Brent Venables has another new contract, really just an extension, but he also got himself a raise. What are the chances we'll ever see Venables as a head coach? What are the chances we'll ever see him leave Clemson for another opportunity? We'll get to that coming up. It's the Moore Midday Show, right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Yo, what up?
What's the word, big fella? Everything's good on this end.
Hey, Luke, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Luke. Hey, man. Pleasure to be on your show.
Great show. You did a good job.
You're turning into rapidly my favorite person I've interviewed with, and I've done like 50 of these in the last week.
You've done your homework. I like it. I absolutely like it. I love that.
Another great thought.
You've done your homework, haven't you? Good job.
You're always getting these big stars and important people on. That's great to hear, and we like to hear the interviews.
You know, it's uncanny how you do this, Luke, and I don't know how you do, because I do this gauntlet of radio on Thursdays where I do all these different cities. Many of them need their hosts to have me give them some talking points. You hit all my talking points every week. It's uncanny how good you are.
Always great talking football with you, Luke. Appreciate you guys being right.
Very impressive.
Shout out to all the people in Tulsa that support the show.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Go ahead, boy. That's why you bring it on.
Is this a sports show or a dancing show?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what we're doing around here.
Lunch with Luke for 3 hours, and your plane goes.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
It was Labor Day weekend. I was 17. I bought a Coke and some gasoline. And I drove out to the county fair. When I saw her for the first time, she was standing there in the ticket line.
Coming up, Brent Venables with a new contract. What are the chances we'll ever see him as a head coach somewhere? It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Got a pair of tickets to give away later on this afternoon for the River Dogs. They won again last night. They're 42-18. That team is really good. They got the best record in all of minor league baseball. So get out and check them out. Always a fun night at the Drill. We'll be giving away some tickets later on. Plus, talk with a former big leaguer later on this afternoon. Elliot Johnson will join us around 2. And in about 20 minutes, we'll catch up with a member of the Charleston Battery. But Brent Venables has his new contract. Now, it's new, but it's not entirely new. You know, they really just added a year on to his contract and overall gave him just $100,000 per year. That was the raise. But it is a new contract that goes through 2026. So he's under contract for the next 6 seasons, and he'll be paid $2.5 million per season, which makes him officially the highest-paid assistant coach in college football. It's always an arms race, right? Quarterbacks and coaches in college football. Quarterbacks and college football coordinators always have this thing that they want to be the highest-paid. A quarterback gets paid, and the next one's available. He says, yeah, I want to get paid more than that guy. I want to be the highest paid. And same idea in college football. It's always this arms race, right? Like Brent Venables was already the highest paid, and then Steve Sarkisian passed him. Then Kevin Steele had to pass him. Now Venables gets the pay upgrade to pass them. He's back on top. It's a competition. And now the next big-time coordinator, not all of them can make this type of money, of course, but the next time a big-name coordinator has an opportunity to get a raise or a new contract, that's what he's going to say. All right, well, you got to give me, got to make me the highest paid. Got to give me more than $2.5 million, like that Venables guy is getting. And it's just going to continue. Now, I've said it many times, but allow me to remind you, when it comes to the athletes of college sports, I've always said, I don't think they should get any sort of salary, some sort of stipend, nothing like that. But yeah, let them profit off their name, image, and likeness. And I do think that even if it's just for the optics, this would be another reason why. It would be hard to commit $2.5 million a year to an assistant coach and now be paying your two coordinators and head coach $13 million per year and then say to the players, yeah, but you don't deserve it. You can't get anything. And again, I'm not talking about some sort of salary or a portion of that payment, but to say, we're going to give our coaches millions of dollars, but you can't get any money for your own Instagram account. And so that would be a kind of a hard pill to swallow if the NCAA this summer came out and said, like, yeah, no, name, image, and likeness, we're going to do everything we can to keep it from happening. It's not going to happen. That's not going to be the case. And then you turn around and another coach is getting, you know, almost $3 million a year. Do the players deserve some sort of salary, stipend, portion of that? No, I don't think so. But at least allow them to make the money that they can allow them to work a little job on the side if they're able to. Right? Instead of like, I'm going to make $3 million and you can't do that side job. And I'm somebody who believes the scholarship is enough. That's a great thing for an athlete, for a college student. But it's also like, if I want to take a job on or if somebody wants to advertise on me, I should be able to get a few bucks on the side. And the money doesn't always have to go to all the coaches. But the other takeaway was now with this deal in place, this would take Venables, if he coaches through the life of this contract, and I have no idea what like the buyout is, but if Venables were to coach through the length of this contract, it would take us through the 2026 season, which would also make Venables 56 years old at that point. What are the chances that Venables will actually become a head coach somewhere else? And maybe he doesn't want to. This is something we always just speculate and assume. Venables has had plenty of opportunities. He's turned them down. And you can understand why. His two kids are on the team. He's probably still the best defensive coordinator in the country. Now is the highest paid. He's making all sorts of money. With a good program, has a chance to win a national title every year. You know, why would you go be a head coach? As I've always said, it's just for that ego or just to see if you can. That'd be the only reason. Let me go see if I can run my own program. Let me go see if I'm good enough to go do that. And that would be the only reason why you would go leave this position to become a head coach, especially if you're doing it at a lesser program. Just to try to show people, like, yeah, I can do it. I could be a great head coach, too. I'm not just a defensive coordinator. But his two kids are on the team. Tyler is a sophomore, so you got three more years there, at least, you know, if he wants to stay for the entirety of his kid's career. That takes him to then 54. Maybe at that point you try to get out of the contract, depending on the buyout, and take a head coaching job elsewhere. But if he stays through the length of the contract until he's, 56? You know, at a certain point, it's kind of like do something or get off the pot, right? Teams may stop calling after a certain while. He keeps turning down jobs. He doesn't want to leave. Now he's getting into his late 50s. And old coaches can get it done. Mac Brown has shown it. Herm Edwards, even with his cheating scandal now. Bill Snyder. But a lot of those coaches already were head coaches. I went and I looked this up, and it's hard to find this information. It's easier to find it for the NFL. The age of first-time head coaches. In the NFL, we've only had 7 first-time head coaches older than 55. One, by the way, was Steve Spurrier. He was a first-time head coach for the NFL, but not in general. And of those 7 first-time head coaches in the NFL, 4 of the 7 had prior head coaching experience at college football or the CFL. So only 3 times was a coach in the NFL. I know, different level, maybe apples and oranges. But only 3 times in the NFL was a coach hired, first ever head coaching job, but no prior head coaching experience at another level at the age of 56 or older. Right? 3 times it's happened. And so Venables, again, will be about that age if he stays for the length of this contract. At the college level, it's harder to find. But the best case I could find, I could tell you all of the active coaches now were all hired before 56. The best example I could find was Frank Solich, who just retired. But when he was hired at Nebraska, he was 53. And he was a 20-year assistant at Nebraska before being elevated to their head coach. 53 years old. That's the best case I could find. Longtime assistant, 53 years old, finally got a chance. By the time Venables turns 56, will he still have those chances? Does he even still want them? More on this coming up. We'll wrap up Hour 1 next. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Wrapping up Hour 1 here in the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. We'll circle back to Venables coming up, but the point being, if he at least lives out the length of this contract at Clemson, not many coaches, at that point he'd be 56, not a ton of coaches are getting that opportunity if it's their first ever opportunity as a head coach. Now, if you're good enough, right, if you're Venables, a team would be willing to take a chance. My point just being, those chances probably minimize if you continue to turn down jobs for a decade and now getting into your late 50s, some schools may be less interested. And for Venables, I don't think he cares anyways. But we'll see if at some point he takes a chance to be that head coach, maybe at the end of this contract, 5-6 years from now. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. Let's go to the phones because Super Dave is with us. Dave, what's going on? How are you?
That's good eating money there. I wouldn't mind that.
$2.5 million?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. That'd be a lot of McDonald's hamburgers or something.
Is that what you would go for? I give you $2.5 million today. Where are you going to eat? You going to McDonald's first?
Maybe the Ponderosa for a nice steak potato.
There you go. Nice little steak dinner.
Yeah, have a chauffeur limousine to boot.
Oh, I get a little limo for the steak dinner.
Man.
Okay.
But anyway, I got to mess up Bob's camp. Bob ain't right. You know, some people like preseason football. And here we go. We got the Hall of Fame game, okay? We got it August the 5th. That will totally mess your count, you know? That was totally, I mean, preseason, some people like it. I like to hear the whistle every time it blows, you know, for the referee. So it reminds me fall's coming and cool weather. So I love football. What the heck, you know?
Yes, yeah. We love it around here, too. Can't wait for it. Hour 2 coming up next.